Hello, and welcome to College Planning Simplified. I'm your host, Ariel Villanueva from Advantage College Planning. More than ever, people are looking for guidance to navigate through the college admissions process. On this show, I sit down with admissions reps and consultants to discuss the ideas, the opportunities, and the strategies to take advantage of so you can simplify college planning. In this episode of College Planning Simplified, I am joined by my team member, Jordan Richards, from our Advantage College Planning team. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jordan.
Oh, I'm excited to be here.
I think this topic will be really great for our listeners. I chat a lot with students about how to choose a major, what major would be most beneficial for their career, should they choose a major, right? We've got a lot of students who consider being undecided. So I think this topic will be really fun.
I do too. I guess a behind the scenes fact for our listeners, we were supposed to record this a couple of weeks ago, and we had to change our recording date. But since then, you and I actually visited a school together, and we were able to have some really great conversations about college majors on that trip. So I think it's going to make our conversation today that much better.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great addition. And I always love going on college visits with you. We have another one scheduled in a little bit, and I'm looking forward to that. Those college visits within our field of college planning always help enrich our experiences and our ability to talk about different colleges. They add so much context to the work that we're doing, especially when today's topic, we're going to chat about majors. So I am looking forward to it. I'm going to jump in with the first question. When we're talking with our students, particularly with our 9th, 10th, 11th graders about potential career paths, there's always this idea of how extracurricular activities might play a role in helping students discover what they're interested in. Do you mind sharing what role you feel like the extracurriculars play? And then do you have any examples of students who have really found any clarity through their experiences?
I like about this question is that extracurricular activities is such a broad term. It can include so many different types of things. For some of my students, their extracurricular activities have kind of followed a straightforward path of, okay, I built a computer after watching YouTube videos and reading all kinds of stuff online, and that led to an interest in like engineering and building machines. I've had students who decided to start managing their own like small investment portfolio. They'll have a economics class or civics class or business class where they'll do that in theory for a project. Then they get inspired to do that on their own. And then that leads to an interest in, you know, investment club at school or potentially majoring in finance. And so we'll be looking at classes within a finance major and they're like, oh, that sounds awesome. Like, I want to learn that now so I can use those strategies with my portfolio. Another popular thing that some of my students do is volunteer with the Miracle League. So helping people or children with special needs play sports. I know we both work with a lot of athletes and sports are such an important part of their identity and they love to share that with other people. And so for some of my students, that leads to an interest in physical education or special education. So kind of a straightforward path there. But then yeah. I also have some students who have a more kind of indirect path or kind of an extended journey of self-discovery, which is really fun too. I'm thinking of a student I worked with who had their own lawn care business and they were really able to grow that. And then one summer they decided, you know, they love playing golf and they wanted to work at a golf course and they had a great experience doing that. But what they came to realize from those two different work experiences was that they love the flexibility of being able to work for themselves and like control their schedule and how many clients they were taking on. And so they decided then they wanted to study entrepreneurship. So that was a really kind of interesting path as well.
Yeah, I love the discovery there. I have a student who has a lawn care business too. And I'm just like, this is so amazing. These are great examples that you shared. I've had students too who have considered their extracurricular, expanded upon what it is. For example, I have a student who was very interested in animals and did a little bit of volunteering work at a local animal shelter and thought maybe their interest would be within veterinary science, animal science. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, well, what ways can they deepen that activity and maybe consider what the fit would look like for a career. So they actually got connected with the local vet that I guess services the animal shelter. And one of the vets there offered for my student to come and do like a job shadow. Really cool and neat that like that networking happened just from like the activity. And then we talked like, okay, how can we really, you know, discover and uncover this a little bit more. But to the difference between the stories that you shared too, my student went to the vet and although they loved the experience and being with the animals, they actually realized that based on their extracurricular activities, that wasn't the best fit for them, particularly with the healthcare aspect and the emotions that come through working at a veterinary clinic. They really enjoyed this side of the shelter that, you know, rehomed pets and was able to make that connection more so than supporting pets maybe in long-term healthcare or, you know, moving into the afterlife and those types of things. So it's kind of both ends, right? Like extracurriculars can help a student discover their interests as it relates to the potential career, but it also could maybe have an indirect path kind of to showcase maybe what they're not interested in.
I love that idea. And I talk to students about this a lot as it pertains to campus visits. Like figuring out what you don't like is just as valuable and sometimes even more valuable than figuring out what you do like. You know, being able to rule out, you know, okay, I know for a fact this is not for me because I've had some experiences related to it and it's not a fit. I love that. I think that's really valuable.
You shared too, we work with student athletes. And that's happened with a few athletes who are like, well, my focus is going to be on my athletic career, or my focus might be on something adjacent. And maybe they experience an injury or, you know, something mm-hmm. that's, it's unfortunate where kind of their thoughts and what they had considered for a long time being their career path has kind of shifted to help them consider what other options are out there. And we're not solely just focused on their sports career, but really what other things academically they want to focus on, or what are things that they feel like could be very fulfilling as it relates to their career experience. So I've enjoyed all different facets of this process and helping. We keep saying the word explore, but I feel like that's really a key to this work in choosing a major.
Definitely.
All right. So I'm going to ask you, we talk about this a lot with our students as it relates mm-hmm. to being undecided. And I really want to be clear, especially with our parents who are listening, that like, it is okay for a student to be undecided, meaning they are not selecting a specific major in college, or even sometimes students will have a major and then decide to change their major to undecided to further explore once they're there. What advice would you give to high school students who are undecided?
My advice here is twofold. So the first part is try out some new stuff. Summer is coming up quickly, so pick a couple of new things to try, and it can really be anything. So, like I said before, extracurriculars is a really broad term. Some options I've talked about with my students are job shadowing a family friend with a job that seems cool. And just like you said, Arielle, it could be a great experience, or it could be an experience that lets a student kind of cross an option off of the list. But either way, a valuable experience. Some students I work with will go to a summer program on a college campus. And I love this option for a couple of reasons. So I think, you know, having a taste of college life, staying in a dorm, eating in a dining hall, all of those things is really fun and a cool preview for what life might be like in the future. Also, you're getting to learn about a specific topic, whether that's climate change or textiles or leadership or engineering. You're learning about this topic with other students who have a keen interest in that area, which is a really cool experience and kind of reflects that idea of being in a college major and studying with other people who have that same passion. Some other, I guess, more informal ways to explore something new would be teaching yourself a skill. So if you've always wanted to, know how to crochet or quilt or code, like going on YouTube and figuring it out, teaching yourself. Getting a part-time job is, of course, always a great way to explore a new area. So if you think you might want to be a vet like your student, you could also do something like dog grooming, like working with animals in a way that maybe isn't as glamorous as the idea of being a vet. And then you can always take a free online course through something like WebEx or Coursera just to get some experience with a pretty specialized topic that's interesting to you. So that's the first kind of half of my advice, trying something new and making the most of that time over the summer. But the other piece of that is looking at colleges that have strong programs or supports for undecided students as you're building your list. So some colleges do a great job of helping students find a major that's a good fit. And other colleges are better for students who already have an idea of what they might like to study. Because like you said, being undecided is perfectly acceptable if that institution is able to help you.
Right. That's a really important piece to the puzzle is like, if you're open to putting undecided on the application, because you're truly undecided too, another factor there. But if that's what you want to explore, you want to really invest your time in trying different classes. It is important to lean in and look at what does advising look like for a student who's undecided? What types of courses will be readily available? Is it just one singular pathway where they're like, okay, all undecided students are always going to take this, this, and this course? Where you're like, I don't really have any interest in that one area, but I would really like to explore something else. And if that course or that pathway is not available, is that going to be as helpful? I've also had students consider within a particular major, is there a more exploratory option? Some colleges have like a sciences program where they don't particularly have to commit to their major. And commit's a funny word now that I say it, because you're not really committed. It's the percentage, just for parents who are listening, it's close to 60% of students change their major during college. So this isn't a long-term commitment we're talking about. Students can definitely change their major. But within a exploratory program or an undecided program or undeclared program, sometimes colleges offer a major that is more broad that allows them to still explore different things. And this is actually something that came up during our recent visit too, which I enjoy. I like when colleges can offer an opportunity to have a discovery field or discovery pathway within a particular major versus the entire like exploratory style program. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first, I will say I am certainly one of those 60% of students who changed their major from the time they applied to the time they graduated. But I feel like this year especially, I've noticed more of those undecided within a certain field major options popping up, which I love. And I think it makes a lot of sense because as I'm working with students who are undecided, I tell them that our goal is not to, come up with their exact life plan and pick exactly what they want to major in. It's just to narrow down their undecided field from like, the 200 plus majors that some big colleges offer to maybe like three or four, even five that are interesting to them and in line with what they've enjoyed studying so far. So even what undecided means can be a little bit different from student to student, but I think narrowing down that undecided piece can be a helpful step in the process.
Yeah. I was talking with a student the other day and I really appreciated our conversation. It was our first meeting, and they said, "I just want to let you know that I am okay going to school undecided." And I said, "I think that's awesome. Very
Yeah.
cool." And they're like, "I don't really know what I want to do, and I'm okay with that." And I was like, "I think that's great for you." So yes, we need to then find opportunities within the colleges that will allow that process to continue, the opportunity to kind of flush out some of those thoughts, maybe take chances and try new things and really learn and grow into it. And I think that's awesome. And for some of our students, most of our students, it's really difficult to consider what life will be like when you're 23, when you're 17. I mean,
Absolutely.
that's hard for me right now to be like, 5 years from now, I'd like this, and this. I'm all about manifesting. I'm all about the vision board. I love that. But for our students who are in high school, there's also this idea that like they don't know what's truly out there. So I enjoy working with them to explore that and develop mostly a plan of action on all kind of fronts. I do want to go back for a moment, Jordan, if it's okay, because you mentioned summer and things to do. And in particular, we're kind of keep bringing up the athlete aspect, but I think this translates to choosing a major as it relates to summer programs on a college campus.
Yeah.
And for our listeners who are like, "Oh, summer program, I'm going to sign my student up." I want to be clear when it relates to what you might hear as like a pay to play, or have you ever heard any other names for those types of programs, Trin?
Pay to play, I've definitely heard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like that's the most popular. But the idea that you will attend a program on a college campus for the idea that it would help support the admissions application because you attended the summer program at that school is actually not true. So I wanted to bring it up because you shared how the summer program could help a student figure out what they like and don't like about a college campus, which love that. And also it could help deepen an interest that they have. Those are great reasons to attend a summer program. If a student has a really niche interest too, I'm working with a student who has an interest in neuroscience, but it's specifically like genetic based. And there's only two colleges that offer summer programs. And she was like, "I think this would be really neat for me to experience and to have the opportunity to learn more about like this field before I start in college. And that's why I want to do this." Yeah. Any way to support an interest in the summertime, or even you said like do something cool. Like if you have a family friend that does something cool that you're like, "I think I want to try that," lean in and do those things.
You can't see me, but I'm nodding my head in agreement with all of those things.
I love it. So we talked a little bit about students when they choose a major, when they are undeclared. There's so many names for it now. Undeclared, undecided. What did we hear the other day? Untracked?
Oh, yes. That was a new one.
Untracked. Yeah. And I kind of like that, right? Like, well, now that I think about it, I don't know how I feel
was
about
gonna
it.
Say, I don't know about untracked.
Yeah, because then are you implying that the student is not on track? So, okay, now I have different thoughts. Just thinking out loud here. But beyond really choosing a major, there are a lot of students who are really concerned about the outcomes of college, rightfully so, right? With, you know, what their outlook might look like when they graduate. How do you support students in helping them connect their major to their career choices?
It's a great question. So when I'm working with students, one of the things that we do is complete a personality assessment. We also do an aptitude assessment, and then we look at jobs that could be a good fit for them based on their natural strengths and interests that they have. And ncareers.org has some really awesome free resources for students in terms of exploring and narrowing down different career options that are available to them or that are in line with what they're interested in. So definitely I'll plug ncareers.org.
Yeah, what's the one? There's like one specific feature in there that I feel like you are a huge fan
Yes,
of.
it's the NC Careers reality check.
Yes.
So what I'll do is the reality check is a questionnaire that students answer, and I have students answer these questions thinking about the lifestyle that they would like to have as a young professional, so a couple of years into their career. And so they'll ask, or rather, they'll answer questions about where they want to live, what they might be spending their money on. Do they want to have health insurance, which is a whole conversation we get to have.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I really do have to pay that much in taxes. Yes, you do. So figuring out what their monthly expenses would look like, and then getting an idea of what kind of salary they would need to be able to support that type of lifestyle. And that often leads to some really great conversations and reflections about kind of how students are envisioning their future. So
Yeah.
that is a great resource, the reality check on ncareers.org.
I love that there's this feature that really showcases like what they can kind of visually see and supports that conversation. So I will definitely be adding that in so I'm not sitting there with paper and pen. And I think it would be really helpful for students to have that option to really understand it a little deeper. And good point. I never mentioned taxes, kind of forget about those. So yeah, there's probably some things in there that I definitely need to add.
Yeah, I mean, we think so much about the interest and passion side of careers, but I think also being able to support yourself is an important part of that conversation as well.
Yeah.
So I like going in with that additional piece of information. And of course, there's flexibility there in terms of, okay, maybe you won't be having a steak dinner every night, and we need to go back in and readjust some of your responses, but it's all part of a really helpful conversation.
It adds another layer when there are students who maybe they're already considering, or we've talked about, okay, if this is the field. This is the major you want to study at an undergraduate level. If your career also supports the need for any type of graduate degree or professional school, like a medical school, for example, I think that that helps them kind of be able to see that they're going to need to consider what that looks like and a career that requires a lot more than the undergraduate degree. Do you talk with your students about that too?
Definitely. So, one of the things that I'll do with students who know that they're interested in some kind of graduate school, whether that's medical school, law school, any other program, we will actually kind of skip the undergrad part for a little while and jump straight ahead to graduate admissions. So, look at, okay, medical schools are looking for these types of experiences for students to have. They need to take these types of prerequisite courses. And in doing that, it can be really helpful to understand, okay, like, yes, majoring in biology is a great option. You get your prereqs, you get a really strong foundation in the biological sciences needed for medical school. But sometimes there are less straightforward options, like majoring in music and just taking your prereqs on the side. Or I know recently I was on a counselor call for a college, and they talked about their color and polymer chemistry program that had a concentration in medical science, and how some of the kind of niche skills that students were learning in that major were really directly applicable to medical school. So that can be kind of a fun way to pull the lens back a little bit and backtrack into a major instead of researching forward into a major.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. Those majors that are not as often sought out for those graduate degrees at an undergraduate level, but are highly sought out from the graduate and professional schools when they're recruiting their class. Yeah, they're looking for diversity of major, especially in medical schools. I mean, you brought that up, but like there are tons of medical schools all over the country where top undergraduate majors for their students are English and communications and history and music. As long as those students complete those prerequisites in the sciences, which they will likely do in their undergraduate, you know, programs, but also if they let their advisor know, like, hey, the plan is med school, can you make sure I'm in this other chemistry class? Those things, yeah, can really help in the long run. So it's definitely important to talk about as it relates to graduate school. Yeah, that's huge. One thing that I feel like it's important for us to have conversations with, and I've heard you speak about this before too, is like, I enjoy having conversation with students about how the adults in their life and the people that they look up to and see in like this one singular career don't realize that maybe they didn't go to school for that thing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I love this idea. This was actually a goal of one of my students this year, was to ask some adults in their life about what they majored in and then what kind of how they got to the job they're doing now. And they had some really interesting answers that they received from these different adults in their life. And oftentimes when students kind of survey people they know who have interesting jobs, they find that a number of them studied something that is kind of seemingly unrelated to what they're doing now. And that's perfectly okay. That's perfectly normal. Oftentimes people have careers that aren't linear and they take really interesting paths throughout their own kind of professional lives. I know when I think about my own career, like I shared earlier, I started off as an education major, realized that was not for me. I switched to sociology, which was a field that I don't think I even knew existed in high school. Like I had never taken a sociology class in high school. So it was not a direct path from majoring in sociology to my first kind of full-time job post-grad, to then going to grad school, to then jobs I had after grad school, to now being where I am now. Each job and experience along the way was certainly related to what came next, but it's certainly not a straight line. And I love that. I think it's so interesting to see where your interests and passions and experiences take you.
Yeah. I think this is a good reminder too, that because a lot of our listeners mostly are parents, this is a great reminder. If you have had a less linear path in your career, go ahead and share that with your student. I love hearing from my family members and people in my life who are like, yeah, I started by sweeping the floors. Or I think about my sister who's in physical therapy. One of her earliest jobs was like doing the laundry for towels and like folding the towels and taking them to different clinics, like physical therapy clinics. That was part of her role. Yeah. And now she's in physical therapy and loves it. There are so many people that don't have this linear experience. So parents on the call, your children probably know, maybe, I don't know, if what you do now. A lot of times when I ask my students what their parents do, they're like, they're in business.
We get to that point of the common application where they have to fill in their parents' occupation. And it's like, oh, I'm not sure.
Yes. They're like, they work at a hospital. And I'm like, okay, we're getting somewhere. So this is a great reminder to chat with your students about, of course, like what you do, but maybe what you did before that and what you did before that and what you did before that, and just gives them a little bit of context. So since we're on the topic of parents, and I feel like our listeners could, you know, gain some wonderful insights from you, Jordan, too. Do you feel like there are any practical steps that parents can take to help support their students in exploring different majors?
Yeah, so many parents want to help their students in this process, and I love that. But I also hear from parents all the time that their students are hesitant to take any of their advice. And so I think one really helpful thing that parents can do in this situation is help students come up with a list of some adults in their life that have jobs that are interesting or that they're curious about. And then help their student think of some questions that they can ask each of the people on this list to learn more about their career and what they studied to get there. I think parents, of course, having their own educational and professional experiences are going to be really helpful in terms of helping their students create that list of questions and think about adults in their life that would be happy to share their experiences.
I find that a lot of my students are very into obviously being on their phones and like researching and looking up different jobs. And one thing that has been really fun, I think, as videos have become more accessible, available, is that there's opportunities to have students like watch videos about certain jobs too. Have you done that before?
No.
Oh, they're like a day in the life, like a college campus video.
Oh, I love a day in the life on a college campus
But
video.
it's
I'll
a day.
definitely have to look at that.
Yes, a day in the life of a college campus video. But these are like a day in the life as a financial manager, a day in the life as a history teacher. I would say like more corporate style job videos, which have sparked conversation with my students. It's like, well, I don't want to sit at a desk all day and just like work at a computer. I want to stand up. I want to talk to people. So it sparks some of that. So day in the life, definitely check those out. Those are awesome.
I love that. Another kind of practical step for parents as they want to support their students is to ask them questions about what classes they've enjoyed, what they like doing with their, limited free time that they have in high school, what they like learning about. And these conversations can be casual. They certainly don't need to be framed by this idea of discovering a potential college major. But, if your student is a big YouTube fan, talk to them about the type of content they like to watch and, more importantly, why they like to watch it. I was meeting with one of my students recently, and we were talking about their favorite type of TV shows. And they shared that they preferred to watch animated shows over like any other type of programming. And they said that they didn't really even care about the story so much. They just loved experiencing all the different types of art that are, part of animation and vary from story to story. And that really struck me. I am not an artist, so that never really would have occurred to me, but it made so much sense when they said it that way. So kind of watching TV was almost research and exposure for them, and I thought that was so cool. So sometimes potential majors can be related to that, and then sometimes potential majors are related to, in ninth grade bio when you learned about Punnett squares and you thought that was really cool. So you kind of went down a genetics rabbit hole and then that can shape kind of your major search process. But yeah, it definitely can start with hobbies or interests like anime and can discover that through a conversation.
Did the Punnett squares happen with a student, or are you referencing, did you have a passion for genetics at one time?
I did not. I did think the Punnett square was cool, certainly cooler than, learning about cell biology, in my opinion. But that's not my field. But yeah, but I had a student who that kind of changed their whole world. It rocked their mindset about thinking about the human body and the human experience was just that first lesson about Punnett squares. And so our whole college list building process together was shaped around this passion for genetics.
Whoa, love it. Love
Yeah.
that. Yeah, this is lots of good content here. I'm enjoying this so much. Okay, last question, because it's important to help our parents and also our students understand that it's okay if a student selects a major and then changes it. How do you help students understand that they can adjust their course along the way?
That's a tough question. I hear from my students all the time that their friends know exactly what they want to study. They've known forever that they've wanted to be, you know, XYZ career. And while I do think that there are a handful of students out there who have had that concrete plan and they do ultimately end up sticking with it throughout college, I think the far more common story is that things change. Like you said, 60% or so of students like change their major once they get to college.
Yeah. And there's tons of majors that like are new, right? That I think about like our ninth graders who there are majors out there that don't exist yet. There are careers out there that don't exist right now that will be there when they graduate.
Definitely. And I think part of the benefit of taking general education classes in college and having those new experiences once you get on a campus is that you're exposed to subjects and topics that you've never really had access to before. And that can totally open up new perspectives and pathways. And being open to that is so important in college. I think being open-minded in general in college is important, exposing yourself to new experiences. Yeah. So when I work with students, like I said, we're just kind of narrowing down the undecided field from 100 majors to like a handful of things that they would be interested in.
Yes, I know, right? It is a little daunting when you first see that list and you're like, cool. Okay. The college offers 110 different majors, but we really do. We have to support our students in recognizing that like they are owning their own experience. So I really appreciated your sharing of like, it's not what their friend wanted to do or what, you know, so-and-so says, oh, I think you should go down this path. It's really owning and honing in on the student's experience.
I can certainly relate to that feeling of everybody else knows what they want to do and I have no idea. And I think that's just far more normal than students realize. So I'm here to support students who are feeling that they're alone and being undecided. They are not alone in that mindset.
Yeah, that's true. And helping students shape the list based off of that, I have to plug our other podcast, Jordan, which we talk about college list building, because I just really enjoyed that conversation about building a college list. But I feel like it, with the reference point of the list, can have a lot of aspects to it that are shaped around major, yes, and academic interest, but it also can be shaped around social fit, financial fit, environmental fit, and those things that really help kind of build up the other times that students are out, you know, and about and not in the classroom. So having the opportunity to explore a major at the college or change your major, like we know most of our students will do, is key there.
Yep, I'm nodding my head again in agreement.
Well, it was great to chat about this. And as always, I so much enjoy having you on to talk about choosing a major, college list building, Punnett squares. I am actually, not to go down a rabbit hole here, but I actually feel like Punnett squares for me might have been, I was very interested in sciences, more social sciences, but Punnett squares was very interesting to learn about in bio.
Right. I mean, looking at the eye colors in your family, you can say, yeah, no wonder I don't have blue eyes.
Right.
Please don't ask me any other biology related questions.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Jordan.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.